This is the Starting Five, and today on the Starting Five, it is our pleasure to have as a guest, he is a Knick legend, but he's also a Raptor legend. He is Charles Oakley, one of the most beloved Raptors of all time, and first and foremost, thanks for doing this, Charles.
No problem.
Now, on this day, whether I was talking to Charles Oakley or my mailman, I think the first question would be the same. All of this 2010 free agency and Bosch, Wade, James, what's your general thoughts on how all this has been?
I really have been keeping up with it because it don't benefit me in no way. I'm a friend of LeBron James. Wade a little bit, but most other guys I really don't really deal with. No big deal. It's a big deal to, I think, the team they left or team they're going to. A lot of guys, can't take the pressure because they let someone else.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that a lot of people have said they couldn't imagine, like, guys from your era doing what these guys have done. Do you agree with that?
It's just a bad league right now, and they just go for anything. I can't expect all this guys raving about free agency and this and that. Sign back, go where you're going, let it be.
Indeed. And then one of the things on a different subject, one of your former coaches, Jeff Van Gundy, he does interviews here locally on The Fan once in a while, and one of the times he was talking about you, and he said that you were, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the player he had with the highest basketball IQ, and I was just wondering, what do you think of, in general, the basketball IQ in the game today compared to when you played?
You don't need an IQ. You need a body. The game has changed. And I think you still got to play the game. That's why the best team always in the finals and winning games every year.
Yeah, and then there's always this label now that the game's softer, and you always hear, because everyone always refers back to you in Toronto when you played here, is, you know, we're missing that Charles Oakley guy, that tough guy. But then some people counteract that with, well, even Charles Oakley couldn't be Charles Oakley in this league. So is that a true statement?
Well, that's not a true statement. It's a job. I have to do my job. And my job caused me to play basketball. I knew how to play basketball. I knew how to play the game. So, that's an excuse for you guys these days. Come out the game and change for physical. You still got to be physical to sustain a 82-game season. That's why most of these guys break down midway through the season. Because they don't have a body fit to play 82 games.
And then when you look at Game 7 of the Finals, though, that had to make you smile, because that was a game that a lot of people thought was a lot like when you played. It was tough, it was rough, it was physical.
Well, Boston played the way they played, LA played the way they played, but at the end of the day, you gotta have your body in shape to do for whatever. And I think LA, they won with a lot of self-will, because Kobe didn't have a great shooting game, but he did rebound. Sometimes they don't go your way. You got to do something else. And Boston, too much one-dimension team and no consistent score. And it's hard to beat a good team like L.A. with two great players.
Yeah. And then, as we mentioned, you had your time in Toronto, and it was relatively brief, but you're someone who Raptor fans have loved for a long time, and it's continued on even past your career in that. For you, what were some of your memories of your time in Toronto?
Well, my thing, first of all, when I first got there, I told the Raptor fans, it's not about the money. And they thought, money don't make you a player. Heart makes you in desire, understanding. And I told them, every year we would get better, and that's what we did. And then they let Lenny trade me away. We had a good piece of the puzzle. And when you get something good, you got to stick with it. And I talk to Larry Chambaugh about this all the time, but they didn't understand basketball, but a lot of other people made judgments, a bad judgment. But when you see you got a good horse, you got to stick with it. I ain't saying I was the best horse, but I'm going to finish the race.
Yeah, and then obviously when you look back, the Raptors really, from that point on, have never had the same success that group that you were a part of did.
Well, I think a lot of managers got to see what they got, And see what, on an 82-game basis, see who playing and how they playing. And, you know, I might not get 20, 30 points, but I'm making it easy for other guys to get 20, 30 points. And that's what it's about. Making it easy for other guys, teaching guys how to play defense, offense, and just be a leader. I think the most important thing is being a leader. That's what I'm thinking. I'm maybe about 4 or 5 leaders out of 30 teams in the NBA right now. They don't know how to lead. Just getting close to making $20 million, getting 25 points, that's not a leader. I mean, they give you an opportunity to come to a leader. You got to step it. I was always like, hey, know what you're doing at all times. You'd be better off. When you wait for somebody else to teach you, I mean, you're not stuck behind.
Yeah, I agree with that. And in your time here, many people thought of you as the leader, and you kind of were the leader despite the fact that Vince Carter was Vince Carter.
Well, Vince wasn't a leader. I mean, my thing, because the guy gets, I just, you know, told you about the points and the situation. My thing with the fans, they didn't understand. So it was a hockey type of town, and, you know, I didn't take it personally. They took it personally with me, but my thing is, no matter what you say, what I know what I'm talking about, I'm going to stick with what I'm saying. And I know the game, and I figured the fans didn't know the game, and it was a little class, but one of those things. That's part of the business. You got to be able to step boos, hits, booze and bumps as you go down the road.
And what one of the things you have expressed an interest in is maybe at some point getting in coaching. Few of your ex teammates are involved in coaching.
The thing about coaching, my thing, my IQ for coaching is so much higher than most guys been on the bench for 5 or 6 years, and I get a lot of this where you have to pay your dues. I think when I played 18 years in the NBA, I played my dues for my next level, and this being a coach or helping a guy out or a team making me to be part of enough to be part of this team, you know, then it always the value of money. There's no value of money can make me. I think just pay me for my what you get. Pay what you get. Know what you get. So, I feel like because you got a guy on the bench for 4 or 5 years, I feel like I still have more knowledge, no more. So don't cross me up in that because I ain't been on the bench for 5 or 6 years, but I know more than that guy who's been on the bench.
Yeah, and you've had a couple of your teammates that have gone into coaching. Have you talked to them about it at all?
Well, that's what they do. You know, I can't speak about what they do. I only can speak about what I know. I know the game, and coaches around me, guys, any GM, coaches, player who play with me, I probably could be one of the best assistant coaches in the league. You know, I don't mind, you know, being a top, working with the big guys. I'll be around, teaching guys, doing the game, telling guys what's right, what's wrong. Teams need that. You know, a lot of these GMs and a lot of these coaches, pick their friends, don't know nothing about basketball. Players don't respect them. That's why most teams right now is in cahoots, because players don't respect the coach, the assistant coach. How can you win? How can you teach if they don't respect nobody on your staff?
No, it's a valid point. And it's part of that there's so much money now?
Man, you see, look at L.A. They got about 4 ex-players around. Them guys listen to Phil Jackson. They live in Power Bishop. Boston listen to Doc. I mean, these coaches just scared to coach. They get the contract and they lay out.
Now, one of the things, getting away from basketball a little bit, you've been a guy who has always been able to be successful off the court, and you've done very, very well for yourself with many different things. Was that something that you'd always, you know, planned and thought about? And you see more guys being that way now.
I just try to enjoy myself, people, and make people happy at all time. And, you know, when I got into the car washes, laundromat, limo, you know, stuff, it was just like making people happy, you know. Come have a nice, clean place. You can enjoy yourself. It's almost like you're home away from home. The cooking thing, I just had a knack for cooking for a long time. And it's picking up I'm getting a lot of feedback on it. I cooked in Toronto a couple of times at different restaurants. So now, trying to take it to the network, hopefully have me a show. I want to do my own restaurant maybe in a couple of years. I'm producing movies right now. I'm doing a lot of stuff. I got money somewhere everywhere, but hopefully, like I said, get enough out there, something will come back to you. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, you've been a guy who's been smart about things, and you still, even to this day, you still hear stories about guys who just go through it all. And how does that happen?
it happens. I mean, money is meant to be spent. And some people say, some people say, you know, I can't speak for other people, you know. I just got to worry about what I do and, you know, keep living and hopefully that, you know, I can keep my head above water. And it is what it is. You know, it got to be certain. Story gonna be written every day. That's how news people get attention to news and watch news because of story. If you ain't got no story, you know, people ain't, you know, ain't nothing to talk about. So you ain't nothing to talk about, people ain't watching news, ain't watching TV, ain't Googling nobody, Facebook.
And I guess we'll close off with a couple things. Who are guys you like to watch right now in the league?
I don't really watch ball that much. I go to a game, I go to about 5 games a year. I like watching Kobe, LeBron, Wade. I like Williams in Utah.
And then I guess lastly, how we came to know each other is you've gotten on the Twitter and all that. And first of all, you enjoy interacting with former fans and people on Twitter. And then if they had that during your playing days, is that something you think you would have gotten into?
I'll do it for business and let people know. During the playoffs, the knowledge of the game I have, and, you know, giving feedback, because I think the players who play the game today is lazy. They don't want to talk about going out in the clubs and stuff like, you know, they don't want to deal with the fans on a personal basis sometimes. I think they should, but you can't make someone do something they don't want to do.
I agree with that, and you know what? You are always direct, you are always honest, and I think that is why a lot of Raptor fans love you and still love you, and thanks for taking the time to talk with me. This was fantastic.
No. I come to Toronto a lot. I like Toronto, you know. I know it's about judging everything in life, but I have no harm, no bad feeling for none of the fans. I wish they would have took my input, and I know they didn't know me, so I understand.
One last thing, I guess, before we let you go. I mean, we're on the day after Chris Bosch leaves. It's always seemingly a problem for the Raptors to keep their players here. What would you do? I mean, if it was you, how do you convince players that Toronto's a place that they want to stay, other than the obvious thing, which is winning? Because I think winning, people will go anywhere if there's winning.
I think they got a bad vibe. I mean, look at what happened over the last with the Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, the Bosch, a couple of players. They don't acknowledge their players. You know, when they leave, they boo them. Like the players who call themselves to be traded, owners and GM trade players. I think that's bad on the fans' behalf when the guys come back, that they boo them. But booing them, they don't solve the problem. You know, and I think every time you trade someone or lose someone, it hurt the team.
Yeah, but how do they get past it and be able to keep, guys?
I don't know. I'm not part of that management team. They had to figure that out. If I was a part of it, maybe I can come up with an answer. But if they listen, they have to listen. I mean, I heard a lot of stuff about when they traded for me. I was too old. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. But my thing is, I brought attitude and I brought some leadership. And that's, you can't pay for that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of these GMs and these scouts and all the other guys, They got bad judgment. I mean, most of them never played. Some of them played, wasn't good. So you got to look and see what's around you.
I hear you.
Was this guy with a credibility guy when he played the game? Was he trustworthy? Could he judge talent? And could he play with other players? Did he have a good IQ for the game? I mean, you got to look at all that these days. And a lot of these guys just, you know, they might give a good interview, but they don't, that means they're not a talent, good for talent.
Yeah, and then just for you personally, when you came to Toronto and then you left, what if anything changed about your impression of Toronto when you were here?
Nothing changed. I like Toronto. You know, I just hope the fan learned more once I left and see what I meant to the team. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, I have no hard feelings for them, but I'm glad they have a feeling for me that I knew what I was doing and knew what I brought to the team. I, you know, keeping the team together. Same pace, like when Leonard Wilkins, I was coaching defense, and, you know, Butch Carter, he gave me the freedom to coach defense. Florida and Chicago, but Chicago was trying to corrupt the guys, and I wouldn't let it happen. As long as I was there, I said, as long as I'm here, you're going to respect the rookies, and, you know, if it's something you want, you know, whatever, but I'm not going to let you sit here and just corrupt these guys in a bad way, and every time something happens, blame them.
Well, I can tell you personally from listening to Raptor fans call for years and years after you've left. No one's forgot you, and they're still looking for a guy who can be like you. So thanks for this, and I'm sure Raptor fans will enjoy this, and thank you for your time.
No problem. Just want to say hello to all the fans out there. All right, thanks.